Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. Always a pleasure to have our next guest with us here today. It is the mayor of Westport, Robin Jones. Robin, thank you so much for being back on Lake 88.
Happy to be here. Good morning, Bob, and good morning to your listeners.
Now, first and foremost, congratulations on the election win. It's been a while since we've chatted, but just your overall thoughts on, the formation of council now and as you move forward.
So thanks, Bob, and I'm so pleased with my council. We've got so there's four councillors and the mayor. This is my third term as mayor. One of the councillors is returning for his second term. One of the councillors came on a year ago, and then there's two new councillors. And so, they don't have a lot of preconceived ideas. I mean, they certainly had campaign commitments that they made, but I have found them to be extremely open-minded. We've had several orientation briefings to, kind of share with them the mystery of public works and water and sewer and things that a lot of people in rural Ontario don't have to turn their minds to. But despite being a small village, we are a full service municipality. And so I have found many of their questions really rich. And the discussions that we've had, particularly at the last few Committee of the Wholes, have been invigorating. Other seasoned member of council and myself, we've left a couple of times saying that was a great meeting because we're getting different perspectives and new thoughts.
It's really interesting. When you have that kind of a turnover on council, you get that variety, but at the same time, people obviously were comfortable with the leadership and having you back as mayor. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. You have that familiarity, plus you have these new voices bringing in new perspectives.
Yeah, I agree. The new voices are really important, particularly in a village like ours that had no growth for so long. And, some significant growth happening in watercolors of Westport. And so let's bring people up to speed there. Most people know when we refer to the beer store in Westport, they know exactly where I mean. And so the subdivision has been growing. Phase one is complete. It was completed last year and 25 homes went in last year and are lived in. I think one might still be a model, but the model sold and people will be moving in later this year. So let's just kind of unpack that for a moment, that 25 new families have come to a village that didn't see a lot of growth, and they are bringing their ideas, their volunteerism, their energy, their excitement. I've met many of them. I'm on committees with many of them. And in fact, one of our counselors, Counselor Joe Aragona, lives in that community. So it's just their wealth of knowledge. They're excited to be here. They chose Westport. And now we've just approved a zoning bylaw amendment that will allow phase two. It was rural land, so the zoning had to change to allow them to put, I think this phase has around 60 homes going in, and it's a variety of singles, semis, and townhouses. And I think that digging is going to start probably within the next month or so.
Wow, that is fantastic. I know people have been waiting to get into Westport. It's such a beautiful community. And, I mean, it's not through any fault of your own that there was no growth. It was just there wasn't the opportunity. And all of a sudden, here we go.
Exactly. And so, you're starting to talk to business people who are factoring that in. So the planning world of getting the buildings up, getting the homes built, is very technical and procedural. And I could talk to you for an hour about the work that the Rural Ontario Municipal Association, ROMA, has done to expedite that. But that's not today's conversation. Today's conversation is what the impact of those homes have in other ways than what I spoke about. We get the people who, we're building a garden all through donated funds and donated hours in the village. We're calling it Serenity Gardens. And we received a bequeathment, which has helped because we have, it's beside the fire hall. It's large and it's celebrating our heritage. So Indigenous plants, Irish plants and Scottish plants. And there'll be a fountain and places to sit and play chess. So when we have the call out, and in the warmer weather, of course, for volunteers, There was another member of council and myself, that he's the lead on it, Councillor Card. Councillor Card and I would be there, but the majority of the people digging, getting dirty, moving rocks were from the new subdivision. So it's very cool. We get that. But the businesses, my point was going to be, the businesses are starting now to say, okay, this is the square footage that I have in my store. I need more room. So they are exploring ways of going out or going up, so that they also benefit in a very tangible way, the growth in the village.
Yeah. And let's not forget, like, Westport explodes in the summer with tourists that come in. It's one of the most gorgeous spots in the area. There's no doubt about it. So those merchants, I mean, they're happy to see this because this has increased business year round for them.
Right. That has increased business year round. And then I'm really happy to report that over the last few years, we made the decision that we were going to go ahead and purchase a Junior C hockey team.
Yeah.
And, you know, I spent a lot of time in the North and as well as in Eastern Ontario. Hockey, if you've got a hockey arena, that is important for a lot of things. For me, it's a community builder. So we have a new team, new league, new management, but old crowd that, you know, we were waiting for hockey to come back to the village. So it's the Junior C Ritos. Local management, and we went Junior C for a couple of reasons. When you start moving up to Junior B and Junior A, it costs the families a lot more money, and much less of an opportunity for some players to get on the ice, where Junior C is intended to be more community involved players. And that's what we're finding when we go to games. We know, we may not know the boys playing and the young men, but we certainly know their families. So that's important. But from a business point of view, having tournaments and an exciting Junior C league, as well as minor hockey, which is amazing. The businesses are getting that winter season of retail back that they had lost over the last few years. So another important thing with inflation up and all the drama that we had in COVID about supply chains and lockdowns, now that the business is open and viable, it's really nice that we've got these other things that are helping that along.
I want to ask you about Roma, but before I do, just if you could just take a quick look down the road. I mean, this is an impossible question to answer completely 100% accurately, but what do you see ahead for the next, I guess, just a little under 4 years now for this council? What are some of your major goals?
Well, our major goals will be continue with infrastructure, which has become much more challenging with changes in policy by the Ontario government. And I understand their rationale for what they did. And what we would get Ontario Community Infrastructure Fund grants. And that has always had two streams. One is a formula, and small communities like ours, like Westport, we always only, that doesn't make sense. We've only gotten the minimum amount, which has either been $50,000 a year or $100,000 a year. But there was always at least 10% of the millions in OSIF set aside for application-based projects as well. And so that's how we got much of our major infrastructure done, Bedford Street, the wastewater plant, through an application to OSIF. They've stopped the application process. So we're sitting waiting to see what they're going to do instead. There's sort of some things in the air that, you know, there may be another stream with the feds. But that's a bit of a deal breaker to us. So the amount of funding we got for infrastructure grants this year is $100,000. We're appreciative. We're putting it on other things other than major restorations. So that's very much uppermost in my mind. So I'm not sure what that sort of growth is going to be, but we're continuing to button down everything else. Running water and wastewater and arenas is very mechanical. And so we have a healthy asset management plan that's going to help us stay ahead of breakdowns that we've had in the past. We have a public works manager who's really a guy who thinks outside the box. And so he's, without going into the boring details for your listeners, but he's made some really important recommendations to council, which they've supported, to really upgrade our processes so that there's less breakdowns. There's nothing worse than there being a failure in the sewage system somewhere and the plant has to shut down. And, you know, they're hauling effluent because the toilets keep flushing. So I'm excited about that. The backbone of this village has been and will continue to be our volunteers. And so, you know, I look down the road the next 4 years, there's a couple of things. You know, if we continue to say our volunteers are tired, they're going to be tired. So I think, you know, we need to change the language and celebrate the work that they do, whether it's, you know, food scarcity is a reality everywhere, including Westport. So, you know, how do we support the food bank more? You guys do that great Build a Mountain. Ours was the last Saturday in November, and I was so thrilled to be part of it. And the Junior C players were part of it. You know, so we need to, I think, over the next little while, change the discussion with our volunteers and nonprofits so that there may be a little bit more work, there may be a little bit more collaboration, but they still want to provide the incredible support that they do to the village. So I think that's really key to use our brains, be very thoughtful about how we can support them and still encourage them to deliver the important volunteer services that they do.
It's Westport is one of those great places where I continue to get the announcements, and I love getting the announcements, and they're so varied. It could be an infrastructure project one day, and then it could be a park or the hockey team or whatever. The balance that you have there seems to be spot on. You don't really have a lot of people saying we want more of this or we want more of that. That must have been part of your mandate, was to make sure that you were taking a look at all these different aspects of life without going too far in one direction.
Yeah, part of the way we're going to do that is our community safety plan. We are going to have a really good look at that. Another one of members of council, Marty Crapper, who until recently had been the executive director of Country Roads Community Health Center. So he's still very much in that world. Council tomorrow night is going to approve that he and I look at it again and to see, because the reality is we need to provide more support to the more vulnerable people in the community. So that's part of the mandate. The other piece was, though, Bob, our advisory committees of council, you know, we didn't have any until I was mayor 8 years ago, and we stood them up, gave you know, mandates to them, and how they, you know, whatever you do when you stand up a committee. But the first 4 years, they worked okay, and you kind of forgave or understood that it was a learning process. So, you know, no expectation to be a high performing team. But in the second term, a couple of things happened. Most importantly, it was 3 years of COVID. And so we are going to take a look at that committee structure in this year, council as a whole. We're going to have a look at it. We're going to have a look at our strategic plan and just see how we can weave it in. Because if in a community like ours that has very little staff, and the community members play a big role on those advisory committees, but because they're advisory committee, I want to make sure that their experience is positive, and that their experience matches their expectations if they put their name forward. So that's going to take a few months to sort out, but I think it's important work.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of important work, you know, I wish we had more time to do this. I'm going to invite you back in the near future to talk about Roma. But just, you know, in sort of broad strokes here, if you could just refresh for our listeners what your role is with Roma and what is coming up.
Sure. Thanks very much, Bob. And I'd love to come back. So I was elected chair of Roma a couple of years ago. So that's my role. Roma, every time we say it, if people aren't hooked into municipal politics there, they get that moment of excitement where they think we're talking about someplace with great wine and cheese and other things.
Tomatoes.
But however, we're not. We're talking about the Rural Ontario Municipal Association. And naturally enough, people would expect that mayors and members of council get together to look at challenges that they have in common, where are their opportunities. But in our case, Roma is the Rural Municipal Association. We have 420 municipalities who identify as either rural or partly rural. We are part of our opportunity is that we are part of AMO, which is a broad association of municipalities of Ontario. AMO has a memorandum of understanding with the provincial government. So that's one of the best parts of this organization, is that when the government intends to put forward legislation that impacts municipalities. There is a memorandum of understanding in place where they consult with AMO, and I sit at that AMO table. But for rural Ontario, we have a big conference coming up this month. Over 1,100 delegates will be at it. And we're doing important work. We're doing important advocacy work. We've done it in relation to connectivity. We've really kind of pounded the desk that we need connectivity. We need high-speed connectivity, broadband in rural Ontario. Otherwise, there's no future for us. And we continue on that vein, but we've also really, really revved up our advocacy on attainable housing in rural Ontario, whether it's single family homes or purpose-built rentals. So I'd love to come back. The conference is later this month. I'd love to come back and update you and the listeners, Premier, Minister Clark, Minister Jones, everybody will be there, and I'll be able to do a bit of a report out. Before I leave, though, I want to give a shout out to one of you. You always introduce my colleague with the same kind language that Mayor Krista Lowry, yes, of Mississippi Mills. She's just a wonderful friend and colleague. She has run again for Roma. She was actually acclaimed. So for the next 4 years, she will be the Lanark and area representative on the Rural Ontario Municipal Association Board. And I encourage, your listeners have two people who are kind of hooked into that. Krista first, and then I'm always her backup.
And I think that's awesome, because I know that our local leaders are very active on the provincial and even in some cases the national stage as well. We're so fortunate, because I know it's not that way in all of these other communities as well. So, yeah, it's fantastic. And that's why, you know, we get to have a little bit of a double dip and have you back after this conference, when you can update us and let us know what's going on.
All right. I love that. Thank you very much for having me this morning, Bob, and I'll see you soon.
Mayor Robin Jones from the Village of Westport has been our guest. Always a pleasure to have you here. Mayor Jones, we'll talk to you soon. That's another edition of In Focus. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition.